we want to welcome you to Refreshed with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refreshed is the radio ministry of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting meritassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Tuesday to you, Brevard County. This is Bob Arthurs, and we want to thank you for tuning in to the Refresh radio broadcast, brought to you by our friends and partners and our saints at Merit Assembly of God. We are truly thankful for what God has done, and thank you for tuning in. It really is a privilege to be bringing the Word of God to you. Today, we're going to do a little bit different of approach. I just felt like sharing this particular passage. It's not on my list of names that reflects the nature of God that I have. It's not on my master sheet here, but it's something that has been very important to me. There are some messages that I've preached and they were impactful. They made a difference in people's lives. It's kind of interesting whenever I talk to people who've been at the church for a number of years that they will talk to me and they will tell me which message really impacted their life, and it's kind of surprising sometimes which one that is. And a few weeks ago we had a visitor, and she told how a sermon that I preached when she visited with us a year ago, that she still remembered that message. And as she spoke, I remembered it as well. But this was one that was burned into my life several years ago, probably 10 years or so ago. And it was a message called, turning turmoil into triumph, turning turmoil into triumph. And, I want to set this stage, I want to set this one up because the last two names that we're going to talk about from our list, then I've got one more that we're going to finish up with on Friday. But, this came during the time and, I don't know if you have ever been in a situation where there were other people. They always had a minimal amount of problems in their life. They always had enough finances. They always had good health. They always had tremendous job opportunities and all sorts of things. And today I want to talk to you. And if you have never had those, if you felt like that, you know, the world had overlooked you, I want to give you a key today that God used in my life to help transform the situation. You see, Merit Assembly of God has been in existence for 62 years. It had a pretty good season at one point in time, back in the late 50s or early 60s somewhere. But for the most part, it has been a very small church for the entire existence. Our first month that we were there, we averaged 9 people, including myself, my wife, and our 5-year-old and our 1-year-old at the time. So, you know, that first month we were not busting down the doors. We were just barely surviving. And there were several things that were obstacles that we had to overcome. Not having heat, not having air conditioning. Those were serious obstacles when it's really, really hot outside, and it's hotter inside than it is outside. Those can be difficult challenges. And then one day God took me to Genesis chapter 29. And it is the story of Leah. And I'm not going to read the whole chapter again. I'm just going to focus. I'm going to set the stage, and then I'm going to set the focus just on this one little concluding passage in chapter 29. Leah had a father who was basically, he was into material goods. When his sister, Rebecca, had been chosen as a wife for Isaac, Laban, when he saw all that she had been given, then he immediately ran to greet the guy because he was looking to know what he might be able to get. And now, in Genesis chapter 29, Jacob is sent by Rebecca and Isaac back to the land where she had come from, so that Jacob could find a wife. And so Jacob immediately sees Rachel and is enamored with her beauty. Rachel was the sister of Leah. She was the younger sister. And I think I've told you this part of the story before about, you know, when the wedding came, Laban conned Jacob into marrying Leah instead of Rachel. And I've told the story about, you know, our wedding rehearsal and all that sort of stuff. But, Leah was deemed by her father, too ugly to ever possibly get married. It describes her as having lovely eyes or homely eyes. In other words, There weren't a lot of suitors that were beating down his door with the intent on marrying Leah. And so Jacob worked for 7 years to marry Rachel, and he woke up and he had married Leah instead. I think that's another good reason not to be drinking before a wedding. You want to make sure you marry the person that you're supposed to. I wonder how many people have started off an evening, got intoxicated, and woke up the next day only to find out that they married somebody. I don't, you know, I know what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas is what they say, but I have a feeling not everything stays in Vegas. There are some bad decisions that get made, and anyway, I'm sidetracked there. But Rachel and Leah, not only was Leah contentious, but then Jacob marries Rachel, and Leah is not only loved by her father, but she's not loved by her husband, and her sister are in an extremely contentious relationship. They are competitors. They are not sisters. They are they generally don't like one another, and in fact, it is so bad that Rachel is. The younger one is in the seat of control, not Leah, the older one. And so Leah is absolutely miserable. She is unloved. She feels all alone, and she is miserable. She's unloved. She feels alone, even though she's surrounded by people, and she's miserable. And today, as I'm speaking to you, you may feel unloved. And I've been there. I'm thankful. My wife and I have been married for 29 years. I've got a church that loves me. I've got a wife who loves me. My children love me. I love all of them. My parents love me. I've got people who love me in my life. I'm thankful. But there was a time when I felt completely and totally unloved. So I could relate to Leah. I could tell you that there was times when I felt like I was all by myself. Literally I was all by myself, you know, back before we got married, I was away from family and I felt like I was battling through, all of the challenges all alone. And so if you're feeling alone today, I want you to know that Jesus wants to touch you. I saw something interesting. I don't remember exactly where I saw it, but that one of the things that happens is when we are touched, that in a physical sense, that it does something to the pituitary gland. If this is inaccurate, you know, send me an email and let me know that it, but you know, my daughter who is a biology major said that's absolutely true. You know, what happens is when we're touched, especially as infants, it activates something in the pituitary gland that initiates growth in our life. And yet, you know, you have two kids, they both have the same food source, the same care given to them, except for one is touched and the other is not. And one will grow and the other one will die. And I want you to know that when we gather at Merit Assembly of God, we're not just looking for a social club gathering. We are looking for the touch from heaven. We are looking for a touch from the Master's hand, because his presence initiates growth. It initiates growth in our life. And so, anyway, Leah was unloved. She felt all alone, and she was absolutely miserable. You know, we need to have the joy of the Lord. We need the joy of the Lord in our life. And today, if you are more focused on your misery than the hope and the future that God has for you, I just want to shift your focus today, because that's what had to take place in Leah. Leah thought that by being productive, that the more productive she was, the more kids that she had, the more that Jacob would love her, the more that she would rise up over in the competition and the conflict above her sister, that her father might honor her more because of the grandchildren that she had given to him. But even though she was productive in her life, she was still unloved, she still was all alone, and she was still miserable. And today, you might have done all of the right things, and yet you still have no joy in your life. And I want you to know that Jesus wants you to have joy. And there was a specific act that turned all of the turmoil that Leah was experiencing in her world. There was a certain moment in time where Leah decided, since she couldn't change her father, and she couldn't change her husband, and she couldn't change her sister, that she would change herself. And today, that is what I want to encourage you and I to do, that we shift our focus from our lack of love, that we're isolated and that we're miserable. And I want you to shift your focus today the same way that Leah did. In Genesis 29, verse number 35, it says, "And she conceived again and bore a son and said, 'Now I will praise the Lord.' Therefore, she called his name Judah. Then she stopped bearing." It says, "Now I will praise the Lord." And what Leah, the decision that Leah made, the transition point in her life, the transformational moment that she experienced was when she said, "You know what? I'm going to stop looking to my dad for affirmation. I'm going to stop looking for my husband, for the source of my strength, and I'm not going to worry about the competition with my sister anymore. Instead, I am going to do what I can do, and I'm going to change me. Instead of focusing on the negatives in my life, I am going to choose to praise God. God has blessed me." By the way, her kids loved her. Reuben and Simeon and Levi now Judah came along, and those kids loved her. And she said, "I am going to praise God." Today, you might have taken the mindset that you are going to wait until, you know, the person that their approval is very important to you. You're going to wait until you receive that before you praise the Lord. You're going to wait until you get that job promotion before you praise God. You're going to wait until, you know, the healing comes your way. You're going to wait until this or until that occurs. And I want you to know that as long as we are putting off and procrastinating in the area of praise in our life, we are going to continue to be miserable. We're going to continue to be isolated, and we're going to continue to feel unloved. And Leah decided that she was going to praise God. And I could take you through chapter 30, and I could show you some things that are do not have the stamp of approval for relationships in 2014 or 2015. But Leah completely changed in her personality. She completely changed in her mindset. And in the end, when Jacob could have chosen anywhere on the planet to be married, he could have chosen to be married next to Rachel, who was buried underneath a tree in Bethlehem. He could have chosen to be buried in Egypt, because that's where he was living when he died. He could have chosen to be buried, but he chose to be buried in the tomb with Abraham and Sarah and Isaac and Rebecca. And he said this, and that's where I buried Leah. That's where I buried Leah. Because Leah made a decision at some point in time in her life. You know what? I encourage people to make that decision to praise God early in life. Because the earlier in life you start to praise him, the less misery you're going to have. The less alone you're going to feel, because at that point in time, you know that God has promised you he will never leave you and he will never forsake you. He will never abandon you. That if you walk through the fire, he will be with you. If you walk through the flood, he will be with you. If you're in the wilderness, he is right there with you. At that point in time, you know that you can praise him because he's watching over you. He's watching over you. And Judah came along and she said, I'm going to name this child different than I've named Reuben and Simeon and Levi. And we're going to touch on a couple of those in tomorrow's broadcast. But she said, I'm going to name this child with a different destiny. I'm going to name him Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And Revelation, the fifth chapter, there's an interesting statement. In verse number one, it says, and I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll written inside and on the back sealed with the seven seals. Then I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seals? And no one in heaven or on the earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look at it. So I wept much because no one was found worthy to open or read the scroll or to look at it. But one of the elders said to me, do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals. That word tribe there, it doesn't necessarily just mean people who had a genealogical link to the tribe of Judah, even though David was of the tribe of Judah and Jesus was the offspring of David. But I believe that there is a greater picture there, that when you and I are faced with a situation and we may be heartbroken because there is no one who is able to break open the situation, to bring victory to the situation, and we may feel like that we're completely at an impasse and we're in a hopeless situation. And today, if I can just take the role of the elder that touched John and instructed him, I want to encourage you by saying this: don't weep for the situation. Don't weep for the situation. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed. Jesus is the Lion of the group of people who will praise him. The lion is the king of the jungles. He roars. I mean, it's just an awesome creature. I've watched a number of documentaries on lions in Africa, and to understand their behavior is quite impressive. The scripture says that the devil goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, but it does not identify him as a lion. All he's got is the roar. All he does is try and intimidate you with his vocal cords, but he is a defeated foe. Jesus defeated him on the cross. Today, no, in spite of what your circumstances look like, I want to encourage you to refresh your spirit and refresh your praise and just erupt in praise to God, because when we become the people, when we gather together as people who worship God and offer praise and thanksgiving to Him, then He begins to move on our behalf. He begins to roar with decrees from heaven on our behalf. He begins to cause the enemy to retreat. He not only brings defeat to the enemy, He brings supernatural defeat to the enemy. One of the things I like about Joshua when he was battling, I believe it was the Amalekites. It was not the Amalekites. It was in the book of Joshua. And it talked about that there were more people defeated because of what took place coming out of heaven than what the children of Israel were able to do. Today, as you and I praise Him, heaven is going to be mobilized to bring spiritual victory to situations that you might have thought were hopeless. So I encourage you today, praise Him. You say, you don't understand the problems in my life. I don't care about the problems. We are to praise Him in spite of our problems. We are to praise Him because He is worthy, not because we feel like it. And when we become a people of praise and worship, then He begins to move in a supernatural way. What a tremendous blessing. And I had preached that message a number of times. Because I believe that there's a lot of people who spend their life miserable, alone, and unloved, and they refuse to allow themselves to break through and change that dynamic. So one day I was praying, and God said, "You've missed something," and you know, I don't know if you've ever had an argument with God, not really a contentious argument. And I began to tell God everything that I had seen in studying this. And God, I've seen praise in the circumstances, and the circumstances change. I've seen being a people of praise, and that You will bring the spiritual victory and all of that. And He said, "You've missed something. You need to go back and look at it again." So I went back and I looked at it. And Numbers chapter 2, and it says in Numbers chapter 2, "And the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, 'Every one of the children of Israel shall camp by his own standard, because beside the emblems of his father's house, they shall camp some distance from the tabernacle of meeting. On the east side, toward the rising of the sun, those of the standard of the forces with Judah shall camp according to their armies, and Nashon the son of Abinadab shall be the leader of the children of Israel, and his army was numbered at 74,600. Then I saw in Numbers chapter 10, let me see where, let me find it here exactly in the passage. Oh, it helps if you're looking in the right chapter. I was saying Numbers 10 and looking in Numbers chapter 9. Verse number 11 of chapter 10. "Now it came to pass on the 20th day of the second month in the second year that the cloud was taken up from above the tabernacle of the testimony. And the children of Israel set out from the wilderness of Sinai on their journeys. Then the cloud settled down in the wilderness of Paran. So they started out for the first time according to the command of the Lord by the hand of God. The standard of the camp of the children of Judah set out first, according to their armies. Over their army was Nashon, the son of Abinadab. Over the army of the tribe of the children of Issachar. And it goes on. And that was the way that the children of Israel camped, and it was the way that the children of Israel marched forth. Every time they went out, the tribe of Judah went first. It was not an isolated incident. It was a prescription that God had. It was the directive that God had given to them. And so I finally came to the place and said, okay, God, what am I missing? And he said, Judah was the tribe. It was the people group that I gave the national authority to. It was the tribe, not just the tribe of praise, but it is the tribe of authority. It is the tribe that when Judah went out, the enemies began to parse and began to separate. It was when the children of Israel began to praise the Lord that there was victory. There were times when the worship team went out and the victory happened without the children of Israel ever firing a shot. Today, I want to encourage you that you cannot afford to delay. You and I cannot afford to procrastinate any longer in becoming a people who praise their God, because first of all, it will transform us personally from being miserable to being thankful. It will transform us from being victims in hopeless situations like Revelation 5 into people who see Jesus bring breakthrough in their life where nobody else could bring breakthrough. And finally, it will transform you from being a victim to being a person of spiritual authority. I'm telling you today that the tribe of Judah was not just a person who had Judah's blood flowing through. It wasn't just a person who had Judah's DNA. But today there is a people that God is looking for, a people who will praise him, who will recognize his authority, who will recognize his might and say, I'm going to praise God in spite of what my parents do. I'm going to praise God in spite of what my spouse does. I'm going to praise God in spite of what my siblings do. I'm going to praise him no matter what happens on a national level. I'm going to praise him because he is the one of authority. And I'm telling you, folks, it transformed my world. It will transform yours today if you will say, God, I'm going to recognize you. And I'm just going to begin to praise you no matter what anybody else is doing. I'm going to praise you. You will begin to see things begin to break forth in your life. Father, may every person that is listening today discover the value and the blessing of praising you because you are worthy and you are holy and you are mighty. Lord, may we learn to praise you in spite of our circumstances and give you the glory for all the things that happen. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@Hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510, 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.